Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton, and I am poolside with Samantha Fish at the Mountain Lodge in Mountain Village here near Telluride at the 26th Annual Blues and Brews. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me in KBNF.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we were just talking about how you're from Kansas City.
Yes.
And now you live in New Orleans. How long have you been in New Orleans, and what made that move for you?
I'd been living in Kansas City my whole life and, you know, really been touring out of there, which is great because it's centrally located and my family's there. I've been living in New Orleans for a little over a couple years now, but we were on the road so much. I feel like I just moved into my house, you know, but it's been a while. Really, I came to New Orleans because when I first started playing music and traveling, I just always was really inspired by the city, you know, the culture, the food, the music, the people. And I thought it'd be a great place to come for songwriting. I knew some people. I knew some musicians. My manager is close. He's not from there, but he's close. So it just kind of, for me at the time, was a good move for me. It was a soul move, you know. Good for business, but also a good soul move. And I've really been enjoying it. You know, it's nice to come home and have palm trees and no snow. So I'm digging that.
I'm sure it's a different scene than Kansas City.
Well, look, the snow up here is great, you know, because you get to ski it and stuff, but I was kind of getting sick of blizzards and everything. But I do love Kansas City. I miss the Royals and the Chiefs and barbecue, but and my family, of course, too. They're in there.
Does your family come out to your shows?
Yeah. I mean, they're all incredibly supportive. I've got a really great group of people and support my family, yeah, definitely.
Are they proud of you?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I'm sure sometimes they look at stuff I do and go, like, what is she doing? But they are all very supportive. Yeah.
And you performed last year, right, at the 25th annual?
Yeah.
Blues and Brews?
Yeah, this is my fourth year that they've had me back. It's kind of, I just said yesterday when we were on stage, I'm like, you know, to come out here one time is like, it's a huge honor. You know, and you're lucky if you get to. But four times in a row, I feel like I'm racking up some bad karma somewhere else in life. Like, this is, like, too lucky, you know. No, I'm blessed, and I love it here. It's so beautiful, and the community's great, and the people that come to this festival are just true music fans and supporters, and it's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have to kind of step it up each time you come back now?
Definitely. I know. Honestly, Telluride stresses me out a little bit. I feel so much better today just because I played and it went really well. I have to remind myself, like, these people love music. They're just here to have a good time, you know, just give them that. But yeah, definitely. There is like, but that's just me in general. If I come back to a place year after year, I want to do something to keep them bringing me back next year. You know, you want to step it up. You don't want to be the act. They're like, oh, I should do the exact same set. You know, I like changing it up for people. It's fun for me too.
Yeah, and it's kind of perfect timing because you have an album coming out September 20th, Kill or Be Kind.
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk with you about some of the songs off of this album. Your title track is called Kill or Be Kind,
yeah.
And I love the horns on this. Who's your producer on this? Is it Luther?
I worked with Luther on a couple records. This time around, I signed with Rounder Records. It's my first album with them. And they brought in Scott Billington, who's a Grammy Award-winning producer. And we went to Memphis. We recorded at Royal Studios, which is where all these incredible soul, you know, sessions have been cut. All Al Green's music and Peebles. I think parts of Uptown Funk were done there, you know. So they've got contemporary and then classic soul hits. You know, the vibe and the feel of that place is perfect. The horns, though, that was a Memphis horn section. You can hear it. It sounds like Memphis. It's crazy how the region changes. Like a New Orleans horn section sounds very specific. I feel like a Memphis horn section, it just has a sound, you know. It's kind of cool, you know, how 5 hours can make that difference. 5 hours driving, at least.
Yeah, well, it's a great song. And Kill or Be Kind, what is the overall theme of this album?
Well, that song in particular is about the duality of love and hate in relationships, how quickly you go from being, you know, the object of affection to the same qualities that you have being attributed to being like a negative thing. You know what I mean? In a relationship, how quickly, like, oh, this used to be so great about you, but now I hate it about you. So that's kind of the theme of the song. But I thought for a title of an album, it's sort of poignant for, you know, and applies to people, individuals in the world today. You know, the choice that we have, the power that we yield to bring positivity or negativity to the world, you know, to choose love over hate. It comes down to choice, you know. So I thought that was kind of poignant, you know, today specifically. The world we live in, you know, to choose love over hate.
Yeah.
It just felt right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful message and inspiring.
The song is really kind of a hot mess of a relationship, but the title was, it rang true for the world, I think.
And for our listeners, let's take a listen to Kill or Be Kind. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I recently attended the 26th annual Blues and Brews Festival in Telluride, Colorado. I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with blues singer and guitarist Samantha Fish. Her new album, Kill or Be Kind, is out this September, and that was her title track. Let's get back to the interview from Blues and Brews. You really wail, both with your guitar and vocals. So I guess I'm just wondering, when you're performing, are you just letting loose?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about performing. And I've had some great examples coming up, and especially in the blues. You know, if you're not feeling it, how is the audience going to feel it? How is that going to affect anybody if you can't get into it? You know, but really for me, music has always been, I grew up like I was a relatively shy person. I still am. And music kind of gave me an outlet that I could express myself, and I had like my own communication and you know, just a way to get that out. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is. It's kind of, it's a release. I've been on the other side, you know, I've been in the audience and watched a show that really touched me. And I think live music just translates for that. I mean, it's such an incredible feeling to be in a crowd of people and to have this like universally connecting thing where there's a performer on stage that's like doing the same thing for everybody in the audience. Yeah. So for me, it's like I come from that perspective as a fan, you know, I just want to help people feel good. And we all got things we're going through, and music is a great way to kind of deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I deal with it on stage and they deal with it out there, too.
Yeah, your song Bulletproof. I love that guitar that you're playing in your music video. What is that?
That's a cigar box guitar, and it's become a fan favorite. And I'm like a part of like a cigar box guitar society now or something. I started playing it because I love the sound of it. It just sounds so raw and aggressive, and like it's just got a deep tone and it really cuts. And there's like a whole society of people that are huge fans of that guitar. Like just that style of guitar, and I've got a ton of them at home now. They're so fun.
Like how many?
I don't know. There's so many really wonderful people around like the country and the world who build them. Like people build them at home. It's kind of like, I think that they, you know, that's kind of the idea, is that they're these like homemade guitars. I've been gifted so many incredible guitars, but my favorite is still the one that I bought. Nothing sounds like it, and it's falling apart. I don't know what I'm gonna do when it breaks. It's like I might stop playing cigar box altogether, and then there's gonna be like a, you know,
a
mutiny fans. I don't know, but yeah, that guitar is on the cigar box.
Yeah, in Bulletproof there's a line that really stuck out to me, and I think it's actually maybe even one of the first lyrics, and you say, "You got me trained to sit on stage, not show my rage for you."
Yeah.
And so back to like, you know, when you're really releasing and gosh, I mean, I just, in that song, I feel like you are raging a bit.
Yeah,
it's good.
An aggressive song. Well, that's about being tied to a certain expectation. You know, people kind of get these ideas and expectations for who you are and what you are and who you're going to be. And if you don't fall in line with that, it's like you've fallen short. And that song's just kind of about needing to have a tough exterior, but everybody's human and you're vulnerable. And sometimes that's mistaken for weakness. And that song's just about like an alter ego, you know, a bulletproof one, but it's kind of a lie. You know, it's a facade we all put on, you know, this like mask of like, I'm so tough and I'm not vulnerable. I think everybody sort of does that. It's just addresses that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Bulletproof.
What's the difference in me now? shot down a Vogue. I got the choke you need, me bulletproof.
That was a song called Bulletproof off of Samantha Fish's new album called Kill or Be Kind. You're listening to Talkin' Music here on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I recently chatted with Samantha Fish poolside at the Mountain Lodge near Telluride during the 26th annual Blues and Brews Festival. Stay tuned. Okay, my favorite song so far, because I haven't heard the whole album of Kill or Be Kind, but my favorite song is Love Letters.
Yeah.
And this, to me, it's a more of a stripped-down song. And there's so much emotion. And is it slide guitar? What is the wah-wah? Okay.
That's a slide guitar. I've been telling people that I sampled my cats as a joke, but I'm afraid that's going to actually get out. No, but it is a slide guitar. And I used a volume pedal. And I do it live, so you can kind of see how I do it when you come to the show. I had to kind of augment the part a little bit because they were originally harmonies and stuff. I mean, it's still a harmonized part, but I don't have 20 fingers and 12 slides on each finger. But this album, I really tried to address textures in guitar playing. Like, I want the guitar to be in the forefront, but I don't want the song to be a vehicle for a solo. You know what I mean? I'm not writing songs that's like, oh, and then I can put a solo here. It's like, if the song calls for it, great. If it doesn't, whatever. But I utilized the guitar in a way that just added textures and dynamics and drama. Mm-hmm. It's so much in the forefront, but in a subtle way that people are like, oh, it's not as much guitar. I'm like, dude, it's all guitar. It's all guitar on this album. It's all just guitars. But yeah, it's kind of fun. Yeah, that was just a fun song to write, you know. It kind of grooves on that one chord and then builds off of that.
Yeah. And you really let loose right at the end. You, like, I forget what the lyric is, but you really give it your all in this moment. You could feel it.
That's a song. It's like kind of about unrequited love. So the hook is, I'm drowning in love letters. You know, you're kind of drowning in your feelings for a person that's sort of unrequited, right? So yeah, towards the end, you're just sort of screaming it because it's a painful place to be.
Yeah. And here's Love Letters.
Babe, why can't you sleep on the side of me? Why can't I breathe so easily? Don't you know what you do to me? Pack of smokes in your pocket change are all I got when you go away. It hurts my heart, but I can't complain. I would have done this anyway. You and I, we could rule this world together. You exit, babe. Keep waking up in the bed I made. Forget the pain when you wanna play. I'm back to broken when you go away. You and I, we could rule this world together. You and I, I pull you in, but I know better. I'm turning you into letters, a heaven love like I can't measure. I'm drowning you into letters. I, you think I would know better? I'm drowning you into letters, a heaven love like I can measure. I'm drowning you into letters. Oh, yeah. Packing something so sweet, so sweet, be slow.
That was Love Letters by Samantha Fish off her new album that just came out called Kill or Be Kind. You're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. And on this program, I'm talking with Samantha Fish about her new album, Kill or Be Kind. Samantha Fish recently played the 26th annual Blues and Brews in Telluride. And during her first set, she had a diamond painted on her face. And I asked Samantha what that diamond represented.
Well, I did it for the Bulletproof song because that's kind of the mask, you know. So I did it in the Bulletproof video, and we're getting ready to release another video where I don't want to give too much away, but it's also, it kind of is, you know, a dual character, the good and the bad. And okay. You can kind of guess where the diamond falls. No, but I started doing the diamond because it's, you know, I do it for shows every once in a while, but really it ties into that song in a way.
Yeah.
Because that it's part of the mask. It's like it's part of the character that you have to become to steel yourself against the world. And also, it's super fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to do stuff like that. It's really interesting to see how fans have assigned their own definitions of it. Or, you know, they're just trying to figure out what it is and kind of assigning their own meaning to it.
Yeah.
It's cool to see that take off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little mystery.
Yeah, for sure.
I like it. How did you learn guitar, and who did you grow up listening to that inspired you to pursue music and playing the guitar?
Well, my dad played. And all his friends played, and they would come over and sit around and play like West Coast swing or old country songs or, you know, like old and appropriate country songs. And it seemed like something that the adults did for fun, and I was a kid, and we just had them laying around the house. So I started kind of picking it up, and I started finding my voice at the same time. Like I said, I was really shy, so to sing in front of people was horrifying, absolutely horrifying. So I did it in secret for a long time. I mean, I listened to the radio and I would see all these guys play, you know, rock and roll electric guitar, like Keith Richards. I loved Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I loved Angus Young from AC/DC, and I wanted to be those guys,
yeah.
You know, but I didn't have a lot of female representation in that field. But once you start digging, you find it, just for whatever reason. It wasn't as huge. I mean, you have heart, but as far as the radio goes, it was kind of limited, I think. I mean, first I was inspired by the radio. And then I got inspired. I started finding who inspired those guys. And it was blues, you know. All that music is built off of blues music. And so I started going backwards and finding, like, oh, I really like Howlin' Wolf. I really like Freddie King. I really like this North Mississippi thing. That actually really connected with me. you know, when I found guys like R.L. Burnside and Junior Kimbrough. I mean, it's kind of a really widespread, diverse list of inspiration, and it kind of hit at different times, but that's music, and that's finding yourself as an artist. You're constantly finding the new thing that, like, changes the game for you.
Yeah. So in 2017, you released two albums, Belle of the West and Chills and Fever.
Chills and Fever was kind of an interesting thing. I'd never done an album like that before where I just covered songs from the 50s and 60s and 70s, and they were like obscure soul songs that, for whatever reason, they weren't hits, but they sounded like they should have been. So we kind of handpicked and curated this list of songs that, and people think I wrote them. I was like, oh, no. You know, it's kind of cool to go, and there's like a music lineage and history behind that record. Belle of the West, I wrote and recorded that after the Wild Heart album came out back in like 2015. I went back with Luther. We did part of a session at the Zebra Ranch where we did kind of the semi-acoustic thing for Wild Heart. We did two songs. And I really wanted to do a full album like that because it was such a magical group of people in a place. It just seemed like the right place to do an album like that. So that was where Belle of the West came from. That's sort of my Nashville meets North Mississippi record. Semi-acoustic, but still with like really ballsy guitar solos. And then Chills and Fever is like the R&B Detroit rock and roll soul cover record.
Yeah.
And they're both so different. I felt like we could release them both in 1 year.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool because I was sort of skeptical, and the label was sort of skeptical. Like, is this going to be weird? And it's like, I don't know. The industry has changed so much. You know, I think people want more content now. There's just so much online and in the world today to be distracting. If, you know, you got to be out there giving people stuff, basically. Yeah. Giving them music.
I hear that a lot. I ask people, like, what's the biggest challenge you faced? And they're like, staying relevant.
Yeah, you got to constantly feed people or you could be forgotten. I feel that way, you know. But it's a fine line between giving too much to where they're like, whatever. I don't need to buy this because they just put something out, you know, a week ago. And then spacing it out but not waiting so long to where it's like, forgotten, moved on. But that's the industry, you know. We're all battling that. We all got to figure out our own way to it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time where, like, anyone with the means can put something out and maybe it's not the best quality.
Well, it's kind of cool, though, in a way, though, because so many homegrown artists have a platform now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't come up, I feel like, in this time. And maybe I would have gotten really lucky with a major label or something. But, I mean, really, my success has been built in a lot of ways. I give a lot of credit to the internet. I give a lot of credit to fans on Facebook and the word of mouth and sharing of videos. You know, we had videos go viral, and then all of a sudden we started selling tickets to shows and selling albums, really. And it was like, wow, this actually helped, you know. I know there's a lot of issue with streaming and everything. You know, music isn't worth what it used to be. Physical music, I guess. People don't buy albums like they used to. It's just different now. But there's other ways that, you know, you can get out to people. And I feel like it's an opportunity, you know. We got to evolve and grow with the times, right?
Yeah. Samantha, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me and KBNF.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KBNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Be sure to check out kvnf.org for more of our original programming and for a direct link to Samantha Fish's new album, Kill or Be Kind. Thank you for listening.